And if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Judges chapter 2 as we continue on through the book of Judges. And why don't we pray and ask the Lord to bless this and really hear from His heart, and then let's jump into the Word. So let's seek the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we are here before You right now to receive from our God. We have come here, Lord, many of us with our minds may be filled with other things. Some of us may be in a great place of receiving, whatever the case might be. I pray that You get us all on the same playing field right now. Help us, God, to clear our thoughts out of everything else, to focus in on what You would say to the church today by Your Spirit and through Your Word. And I pray, God, that You would just teach us, God. And Lord, as we look at the nation of Israel and how they dealt with living in truth or the consequences that came, God, I pray that we would realize that we as a nation today, as America, we also deal with the same thing. And so, Lord, I pray that You would purify us as a church. I pray You send revival on Your church and restoration to America. And I pray, God, that we would hear the warning and encouragement today, so that we would leave well-balanced, God, not overburdened by, Lord, the warnings You give in the sense of thinking there's no hope, but recognizing with those warnings there's great hope if we will simply respond to Your voice and turn from our sin and back to You. So, Lord, meet us in power, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Maybe you guys remember years back, if you're old enough, you do, there was a game show called Truth or Consequences. Now, again, you're probably dating yourself if you admit that you know when that is, but it was a game show, basically, that was hosted by several different people over many different years, and on the game show, you would go, and they would share something with you, and you had to pick whether or not it was truth or whether it was false, and if you missed the answer, whether it's true or false, in just a short amount of time, then you had the consequences. And so they made this big, fun game show out of it called Truth or Consequences. Well, God is also dealing with the nation of Israel in the same way today, and I believe with the nation of America the same way today, and yet it's no game show. It's not all fun. It's not just something you win a reward or you lose your reward in. We're talking life or death as far as a nation goes, and God was dealing with that with the nation of Israel, and God is giving us the same message. You know, it's interesting, as I go through Judges, you can see God dealing with them, saying, if you live the truth, then I will bless you. And if you don't live the truth, there will be consequences. And the same thing God says to us as believers. He talks about the blessings that we'll have in Deuteronomy 28 if we follow God individually or as a nation. And then He talks about the consequences that we'll have if we don't follow God individually and or as a nation. And so, again, with today comes a lot of warning and comes a lot of encouragement as well. And it's interesting, as I see God leading me into the book of Judges and us studying it, the more we get into it, the more I recognize God's hand and why He sent us through the book of Judges. And why is that? Because this is exactly where God has America today. Or rather, should I say, this is exactly where we have ourselves today. The same place that the children of Israel were in. We have had godly leaders in the past, and now those leaders are gone, and we don't have as many godly leaders. We still have some. But as a nation, we have turned away from God in many ways. In our leadership, sometimes in the church even, and obviously in our leadership, in our state-to-state governments, all the way up to the highest places, there's a lot of ungodliness that is coming in. And the bottom line is, if we don't deal with it properly, the Lord says we will have consequences. And so I'm hoping today that we'll kind of have that balance of the warning from the Lord, but also, before we're done, the encouragement of the Lord if we repent. And that is the good news. I don't want to just focus on the warning that God gives, because I hear God's warning screaming off the pages of Scripture at me this week as I study. But I also want to give the encouragement that there's hope if we turn back to the Lord. But it's pivotal moments in an individual's life, and it's pivotal moments in a nation's life that turns a nation either to a place where God has to send judgment and chastisement, or where God sends refreshment and the power of His Spirit in restoration. And this is where Israel was as we get into the passage today. And this is where we as a nation are. And I know I've said that numerous times. But again, even this week, it's glaring in our face. Because sometime, either this week or next week, sometime this month, some are saying it might be as early as this week, there's going to be the ruling we talked about as far as the same-sex marriage issue goes for America. And remember, this is not an issue about standing against a group of people or holding up signs and marching against some cause or for some cause. This is about God and what God has established in His Word for mankind throughout their history. And what's shocking about this, and should be shocking to us, as we come to a place to where this kind of thing could even come to a court decision as to whether or not it would be something we as a nation agree with or disagree with, the shocking thing should be it shouldn't even get there, because God has made very clear in His Word what is right, what is wrong, how God designed it, and how it's supposed to be, and it's been this way for thousands of years throughout world history. And now we see a situation where nations are changing that. As you know, the law just passed in Ireland. And now it's being pushed in other places, in France and other places. And now it's coming to a vote in America sometime even now. This is so appropriate to where we are, because this is how God was dealing with Israel. You see, it wasn't a nation when it came to Israel that was simply stumbling and having a struggle in certain areas. They were willfully choosing to sin and shake their fist in God's face and say, "We know what your word says, and we don't care." That's where the nation of Israel was. And sadly, that's where some of our nation is today. Not you, not the church, not many even unsaved moral people in America, because they're out there and they disagree with these things. But at the same time, a big portion of our nation, really a small portion, is pushing this whole change of agenda in many different areas, but the masses allow it to take place. And because of that, it sneaks up on us, and we're shocked. You know, it's amazing to think how things can change and how quickly things can change. And sometimes you don't even realize that a nation has changed until you go back and look at the way the nation used to be. And a lot of people will say, well, that's because we were, you know, whatever, fogies, and now we've progressed. No, when you look in light of God's word, you see that nations are closer to God, and they gradually fall away if someone doesn't hold them close. You know, I was thinking about it just this week when you look at even just our entertainment in America. If you remember, and you probably, if you were alive at that time, or you know anything about history, America, again, being founded on godly standards and on moral standards, everything morally permeated our society, everything. Everything we did, God was in it. Everything we were involved in, it was at least moral. If God wasn't mentioned, it was at least moral. And the nation knew we have boundaries that we can't go outside of, because we know God's word and God has given us those boundaries. And I think even when movies, remember when the first sound movies began to come to the screen, and how shocked everyone was in the very first movie where a cuss word was spoken. Maybe you know the history of it. It was Gone with the Wind. And at the end of the movie, Gone with the Wind, Rhett Butler stands there at the door and says this cuss word, and the nation truly was shocked. People that saw it could not believe that a cuss word was said on a movie screen. The nation talked about it. They debated about it. Should this be allowed? Some that felt like, hey, we've been too held back. We need to be free. We need to move forward. We need to be progressive. They were all for it. But the majority of the nation was saying, we can't do this. It's going to corrupt our nation. It's going to corrupt our children. It's going to eventually corrupt our entertainment industry. If we allow it to happen one time here, it may happen two or three times over the next couple of years. It's got to be, you know, stopped now. We were shocked. Now look at how permeating foul language is just in the general society and our entertainment. The same thing was true when it came to sexual activity. You would never mention anything sexual in front of people or maybe on a movie screen. How could that ever happen? How shocked the nation was when the first semi-sex scene, if you will, was shown in a movie. And it caused debates. It caused problems. Should we allow this? Should we not allow it? And the nation was shocked when this took place. Now look at today. If you go and see a movie and there's not multiple cuss words and several sex scenes, you're shocked. It's reversed, hasn't it? I have people say to me, wow, I saw a movie the other day. No cuss words, not a single sex scene. I can take my family to that. I'm just shocked. I mean, I'm pleasantly surprised, but I'm shocked. And I'm thinking, how bizarre is that? Because we used to be shocked when it was there. Now as a nation, we're shocked when it's not. Have we changed? You see, all it takes is looking back at where our nation was and realizing where our nation is and what we now accept as normal. And we realize, guys, things are not as shocking as they used to be, and yet we're farther down the road away from God. This is what the nation of Israel were doing. Remember we said last week they were now worshiping. After Joshua died, they started worshiping the other gods. They started worshiping Baal. They started worshiping Ashtoreth. And remember we talked about Baal was the god of nature. And Ashtoreth was the goddess, if you will, of sex. And so what happened was, as the nation began to turn away from God, they began to lift up the environment, and they began to lift up sexual activity. Do you see any parallels here? This is exactly where we are as a nation. And God says in Romans chapter 1, when a people or a nation turns away from me, they're going to start honoring nature above everything else. They'll begin to actually worship it. And they're also going to start lifting up sexual activity and treating it as though that's the thing you need to go for. That's what makes people happy. That's exactly what was happening in the nation of Israel. This is exactly what's happening with our nation today. And so this is what he gets into when he looks at where we are here, starting in verse 14. Now, we're going to be doing verses 14 through verse 23. And so the stage was, and the setting was, remember, the nation had turned away because Joshua was dead. The godly leadership was gone. Everyone was doing right in their own eyes. And then God again now says, all right, you're going to do this. I'm going to bring in chastisement on you to drive you back. And we take up in verse 14 and notice what it says. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. This is amazing, guys. A couple things I want to point out. First of all, notice this. God can get very angry. Now, I think sometimes that can be overemphasized. And I've seen before where people historically have used how angry God is at you to try to get you to repent. You know, to maybe bring you to a place of, oh, God's angry at me. I need to repent. And sometimes I think it's been abused in the sense of maybe overusing it as almost a manipulation tactic to get people to repent. But even as the whole movie thing and the shift of what we're shocked in today as compared to what we were shocked in back in 1950, the same thing has happened within the church when it comes to understanding about God's love and about God's righteousness and the emotions that God has. I think now we err on the side oftentimes so much of speaking of God's love, which God is love, and we will always talk about God's love, we forget the fact that God does get angry. God doesn't get angry. He's God. Listen, where do you think you got the emotions that you have? The Bible says that we were made in what? The image of God. It doesn't mean we look like God. It means we're made in His image. Even as there's a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're made of flesh, blood, and water. Flesh, blood, and bone, and water, and spirit as well. So we have a Trinity as well going in us. Our person is a Trinity, even as God Himself is a Trinity. Even as we have emotions, where do you think we got those emotions? God gave those emotions. God created love, anger, passion. They're all from God. He has all of those. And as you read through the Bible, you see all of the emotions of God coming out. The difference in God and His anger and us in our anger is God is very gracious and long-suffering. That means when I get mad, I snap and something bad happens. When God gets mad, He waits and He waits and He waits and He waits, and He sends messages, and He tries to bring people back. And then even God at some point says, that's enough, and God brings judgment. And this is a side of God we don't often see or hear about today because the softer side of God is emphasized. And don't get me wrong, we need to emphasize God's love. I believe that God would have us want to be focused more on His love than any other attribute because God is love. But we also need to realize that God can also get angry when a people or a nation persistently shake their fist in His face. And this, again, is what the children of Israel were doing. This is why God is angry. It wasn't like they were stumbling. It wasn't like they were struggling in the same thing and really trying. They were saying, we don't care what your word says. We're going to do what we want. And that's what concerns me for our nation today. Even with this upcoming trial with the Supreme Court. Because rather than simply struggling to find out what's right, what's wrong, seeking counsel, crying out to God, we're trying to make laws to make everyone go against God and go directly against the Word of God. That's shaking the fist in the face of God. And that's when God gets angry in Scripture, when mankind does these type of things. You know, when people come in to me and they say, Pastor Mark, I'm really struggling in this sin, and I need you to pray with me about it, you know, and I can see they're torn apart by it. It's ripping their life apart. Please pray. We pray. We say, Lord, you know, please deliver them. God have mercy. And even if they come back that next week, I'm still just, I did it again. Please pray with me. But I see they're tormented and they're crying out. That's a stumble. I pray with them and I help them and we work together to see that God will set them free. But if I see somebody that is confronted with the Word of God and they say, look, I don't care what your Bible says. I'm going to do what I want regardless. That's the kind of person, guys, that there's not a lot of grace for. There's not a lot of compassion for. There's not a lot of mercy for that person because they're willfully rejecting God and saying, God, we want nothing to do with you. This right here is what is happening in the nation of Israel. And notice it says that his anger was, he had anger, and he it uses the word, he was hot with anger, it describes it. That's very interesting to me because, again, it means basically flaring nostrils. Flaring nostrils or hot means scorching and burning. You ever seen somebody with their nostrils flare when they're mad? You ever seen them scorching angry where they can't seem to control themselves? The Lord wasn't just a little angry about this behavior. We can see they had pushed God so hard and so long that now God was actually furious. And I'm glad that when God is furious, he is measured in his fury because he is. But at the same time, we need to realize that we can push God to that place. And notice he says they could no longer stand before their enemies. They were plundered. It's interesting here. The result of the consequence of the Lord getting angry with them was they were plundered and they were sold to their enemies. Now, this is interesting to me because plundered here means basically God allowed their things to be taken away. In other words, the blessings that God had given, God basically said, now they're going to be gone. I gave those blessings, and now I can take them away, and I will do that. Guys, that's exactly what was happening with the nation of Israel, and that's exactly what's happening with our nation today. What do I mean? Guys, we have been blessed by God because of our founding fathers and our nation honoring God, at least until recent, the last one or two generations, that God has made us the strongest economic power in the world. Listen, don't be deceived. God did this. The Bible says God raises a nation up and God brings a nation down. And I'm not saying America was perfect. Nobody's making that argument. But the bottom line is because we honored him in our imperfection, God raised us up. Now look at our nation as we have decided to turn away from God. And now we have a generation that is going a complete opposite direction of God. And even court cases like we're facing next week, all of a sudden we find ourselves in the midst of a nation that not only is hurting economically, but has $19 trillion in debt. And some even saying it would be impossible to ever even pay that back. That at some point, what we owe in interest is going to be more than what we can even pay on the loan, so to speak. And now much of America, whether you realize this or not, is owned by China because of loans from China. Much of American land, which many of you probably don't know, do your research, is actually owned by Russia. Russia's buying up American property. God says that is exactly what will happen to a nation that turns from me. He says, I will allow them to be plundered. He also says, I will begin to turn their nation over to another people. Do you see an influx in immigration? Do you see a push in this area? Listen, I'm all for immigration. This is not a political speech. I'm looking at the spiritual side. God says this, if you turn from me as a nation, I'll begin to bring in more foreigners and turn it over to them. If you turn from me as a nation, I'll begin to take away your economic wealth. I'll begin to plunder it and give it to others. If you turn from me, I'll bring calamity in all that you do. I'll become angry at you. And instead of defending you and there being fear of other nations, of you in their heart, they're not going to fear you at all. This is exactly what was happening to the nation of Israel, and this is exactly what's happening to us. Notice he said he'd sold them into the enemy's hand. What it means is that the people around them were no longer afraid of them. When God brought them in the land, the Bible says God put a fear around them. And then as they begin to disobey God, God began to remove that fear. Guys, again, the same thing is happening with our nation. We used to be a nation that was feared around the world. People were afraid to mess with America. Now we have Russian fighter jets flying over the top of our carriers and scraping them, mocking us, making fun out of us. Maybe you saw this week flying right within our aircraft and all these things they're doing over there in the Black Sea and other places. They're mocking us. We have nations that are basically taking our equipment now over the Middle East and taking over regions of the Middle East that we had delivered and set free for other peoples. Now they're coming in and taking it back at free will and we're doing nothing about it. And they don't fear that we will. This is the sign of a nation that is in retreat because God is removing his hand of blessing. So this has nothing to do. A lot of people want to blame politicians. A lot of people want to blame this and blame that. This has nothing to do with that. That certainly plays into it depending on where we are as a nation, and that's reflective of where we are as a nation. But we need to understand as a church and as a nation, guys, this is God dealing with America. What is happening is the Lord doing this. And he's trying to get our attention, and he's trying to wake us up. And this is exactly what he was doing again with the nation of Israel. Notice it says in verse 15, wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Again, notice he says, wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, and they had great distress. Does anyone feel calamity and especially distress about where our nation is today? Feeling distress about the nation you're in is another sign that God is bringing chastisement in on the nation. You know, it's interesting. A good father and a good mother knows how to chastise their kids. I know what works with my kids for the most part. And I learned off the bat that if I gave the same chastisement for all of them, it didn't really have any effect. If I was to say to one of them, you can't read for, 3 days or a week. If you do that, you have to put the book down. They'd be devastated. I can't read. I've got to read, right? If I told that to another one, they'd be saying, thank you. I don't read anyway, so bring it on. Let the consequences come. I don't care. Who wants to read, right? But I know what they like. If I say, all right, you can't do this or you can't do that. Or you can't whatever, watch movies for 3 days or whatever the case might be. Whatever the discipline might be on that child, you know that child, and it brings in the pain that is necessary to get the response that's needed, and they respond. God does the same thing to America, even as he was doing to the nation of Israel. God knows that we like our lifestyle. He knows that we like our freedom. And if you'll notice, our lifestyle is slowly slipping away from us as Americans, economically and in other ways. And so are our freedoms. Guys, why is that? The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We'll be celebrating here on the 4th of July. Why did we celebrate that? Because God blessed us and his Spirit was welcome here, and God gave us liberty as a nation. Now that we're turning away from God, we're seeing our liberties disappear one after another, and it's happening gradually, just like the whole movie thing, back and forth. We didn't even recognize what's going on. But guys, it's the hand of God. And why is God doing this? Because God allows oppression to come in on a people that turn from him, so they'll turn back. It's a good father saying, you know what? No movies for a few days. You can't read for a while. He starts to do it gradually, and if we don't respond to God's chastisement, God turns up the heat. And so we have to be recognizing what God is doing. But here's the thing we have to realize as well. As I said, there's a balance to this. There's the soberness and there's the seriousness of the fact that God brings in chastisement on a nation that turns away from him like he did to Israel, like I believe he's doing to America. But we also have the good side where there's hope in the Lord, because again, as any good father, he's bringing the consequences to drive us back to him so that he can bless us. In other words, if we run back to the Lord, if we repent, the blessings of God will once again be poured out on us as a nation. And so God has that for us. Our job is simply to turn back. And he would have done this for the nation of Israel, and he does do it for them when they repent. So there's encouragement in this as well. I don't want it to be completely, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, through the whole study. No, God gives life, and he gives hope for nations who turn back to him. Look at verse 16. He says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, that is, godly men, and we'll see in some cases, godly women later on, who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Now, why is this encouraging? It's very encouraging because the nation of Israel was saying straight to God, we don't care what your word says. We're going to do what we want. And God, in his compassion, still raised up godly leaders to speak to them and say, what are we doing? We need to stop this. Let's turn back to God. And the reason that's hopeful, it shows God doesn't just throw us off a cliff and forget us. He cares about us. And he sends his messengers, not just in the pulpits, but even in the politics. In certain areas, God raises up moral leaders and those who will stand for the truth. Our job is to recognize them and be encouraged by them. And so the encouragement here is God still loves us, even in the midst of our open rebellion, and he tries to reach us. And yet, look at the response. And this is oftentimes the response that we see today as well around us. Verse 17, yet they would not listen. And I have not listened underlined. Because it wasn't that they couldn't hear. It's that they wouldn't hear. Guys, listen, the Bible is clear on some of the issues that are in our society today. It is not unclear. There's nothing about what God says is right and wrong that we can miss if we simply read it. But there are certain groups of people who say, I don't care what it says, I will not listen, and I will have my own way and go my own way. And this was the children of Israel. Notice they would not listen to their judges, that is the godly people, but they played the harlot with other gods. and they bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. So they walked the way the world walked, but they didn't walk in the way God wanted them to walk. And because of this, they committed spiritual adultery. It's interesting. He speaks here of them committing harlotry. What is that? Basically, it's honoring other things above God when God alone gets the honor. And especially things that are sinful and go against the Lord. You know, I think a lot of times we miss what a biblical God is because we read the Bible, and back then they had the little statue of Baal or the statue of Asherah or whatever different statues they had, and they had all these different things, and we say, well, we're not doing that. We don't have those. Guys, understand this. A God, according to Scripture, a God is anything that we honor above the Lord and give our worship to, our honor to, our attention, our passion to. That is a God. So we may be too sophisticated today to have little statues of this and that, but we still have our gods that we honor. And what he's saying is, if you have these gods over me, you're in spiritual adultery. It's harlotry. And so we need to understand that. Again, certainly they had actual idols, and we don't have that today. But we still have the things that we honor today. Again, I look at the whole example of Baal and Asherah that they were worshiping. They literally would worship nature and set statues of Baal up as they did it. Today, we simply worship the environment and set up committees and force laws and change things because we're going to be the ones to do this. Guys, God is in control of our environment. Yes, we're to be good stewards, but this is like the fish in the fishbowl going, you know what? I think we need to fix this place up some. And so we need to take the resources that we have and the power that we have, and we need to make this the best fishbowl that it can be. And if fish could do that, that'd be great. Maybe it'd be a little bit cleaner on the inside. But I'll tell you this, it's up to the owner on the outside to make sure the water's clean, to make sure that they have plenty of oxygenated water, to make sure they have food, to make sure that everything's working. God is the one that controls the environment. And it is arrogant of man to think that somehow we can or somehow we do. It is simply being used by the enemy, I think, to move the world in one direction, which we know is going to happen in this unifying of the world. It is becoming a unifying world agent that the enemy is using. But if we begin to honor it above God, now we're worshiping nature. Sex is the same thing. We may not have statues, but oftentimes there's magazines with pictures. And we honor this. And in all the shows, the more sexy someone can be, the better. It's no different, but they're gods that we're serving. We just haven't given them names like these gods and honoring them in the same way. But they're still these gods that we're honoring and that we're lifting up. And notice this, the Lord says they would not listen, but look at verse 18. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by the groaning, or rather by their groaning, because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. Again, look at the heart of God here. God has a heart for the people. Although they're willfully sinning against him, God is still brokenhearted and saying, I want to help them. And guys, right now, listen, as a nation, we are grieving God. And I know that we're pushing God and we're in the face of God, so to speak, but God still loves us and God has compassion and God is trying to reach us. And this is where the hope comes in this message, because God, if we will simply turn back to the Lord, then God will move, but we have to listen and we have to act on it. But I love seeing the heart of God and his mercy in the midst of this. And notice verse 19, it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly. Note that. More corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and to bow down to them, and they did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn ways. Guys, this is a huge verse in this to me. Because what he's saying is they started out right with God, they got further away, and then God would raise up a judge. They would hold that position, and then they'd get further away from God, he'd raise up another judge, and every time that they got another judge, or every time they got farther away, they were starting from a smaller vantage point in their morality, in their righteousness. What do I mean? The point is this. God had the nation where he wanted them to be, but as they gave up territory to the enemy, that's the only territory they had left, even when God would raise up a judge. Let me give you an example and try to illustrate this, because I don't know if I'm being clear on this. I don't know that I even know what I'm saying, so give me a second. I do know, I'm kidding. But imagine a football field being 100 yards long, and all of a sudden, the professional football, the commissioner says, we're going to drop them down this coming season to 90 yards. There'd be a lot of people, 90 yards, what are you doing? especially the football fans. You can't do that. 90 yards, now the 50s at the 45. You know, everything's changed. You know, there's smaller field. The touchdowns are going to increase. The passes, the kicks, everything changes. You can't do it. Nope, that's what we're doing. And he has the power to do it. And so it changes. And although you complain and gripe and grumble, by the end of the season, you accept it. We now have a 90-yard football field. There's nothing we can do about it. But maybe we'll get a new commissioner and he'll change things. And then a new commissioner comes along next season. And he goes, you know, I know you're upset about losing 10 yards. I really wish there's something I can do, but it's already law. We can't go back. We can't get that 10 yards back. Let's take the 90 yards we have left, and let's do the best with it that we can. And so everybody's going, well, I don't like it, but okay, let's take this 90, do the best we can, and we've lost ground, but let's try it. And the whole season changes. And then all of a sudden, about mid-season, he comes in, takes another 10 yards away, and drops it down to 80 yards. And this is the new commissioner. And then everybody's complaining, and there's all this kerfuffle going on and all these problems, and they can't change it because it's the law, and everybody's upset. But then finally a new commissioner comes along, and don't worry, this is the last time I'll do this. We won't go down to 10 and all that. How long is this illustration, Pastor Mark? Anyway, but now we're dealing with 80 yards, and the commissioner, we need this change. We may never get back to 100 because we've come too far, but can we at least get back to 90? No, we can't even go back to 90. It's already in law, and it's already in place. There's nothing we can do about it now. Let's make the best we can. Let's do with the 80 yards we have left. That's what God is saying about the nation of Israel, and that's what is happening in our nation. We have given up so much land and so much territory in the form of godliness that even when some leader is raised up that wants us to hold the fort or maybe even go the other direction, it can't be changed. The laws are in place. This is all we have left. And I feel like that when we do see the church pray and godly leadership raise up or whatever the case might be, the best we can do is hold the fort. We can't take any territory. It's almost like a train going down the tracks. And the train is just going full steam and we see a cliff way down there. And you're going, what has happened? Well, the bridge broke, you know. And how do we stop this thing? We got to somehow stop it. The people on the train don't even know they're headed for destruction. They don't even know they're going to fall off the cliff. And the hero jumps on the horse. There he goes. You know, he's up beside it. He jumps inside. Oh, lands. He goes. He grabs the helm. Sparks start flying everywhere. Thank you, our hero. Tell the people you're slowing the train down, but it's not enough. I'm doing the best I can. Trying to get the bridge built before we get there. We're trying. Let people to just sparks flying everywhere, right? And yet the train still keeps moving. Okay, that's what I feel like was, that's what was happening with the nation of Israel, and that's what I feel like is happening in America. We're screaming down the tracks to destruction. There's a cliff that God's warning us about, and every so often we have a national leader, one or two, that is able to get up beside the train panting. They dive in sideways. They land because a lot of people didn't even really want them there. They start pulling the lever, and as soon as they pull the lever to slow things down, sparks start flying. How dare you? Oh, you're going to put your morality on us. I'm trying to save your life. Sparks, no, just, we don't want that. You don't. There's no bridge broken down there. We're not going to fall off of a cliff. We know where we're going. We're doing what we want. Right? And all we seem to be able to do is slow this thing down. You see, we're losing yardage every time a new leader gets in place. We've lost so much yardage that they can only start with the 80 yards they have left to work with. And if we as a nation don't repent, the church repent, the nation repent. We say, God, your word says it's one man, one woman. Hands off, we dare not touch it. You're God. Lord, your word says that abortion's wrong. We're going to stop killing babies. Lord, you're the Lord. We're not the Lord. Give us the land back, God. Give us the field back. We never should have lost it, but the desire is to get it back. And now all we're trying to do is slow abortion down. Now all we're trying to do is slow down the definition of marriage. We're just trying to keep this thing on the track before we all die. And I see that as God's mercy. I see that as God's grace because we are headed for destruction and really the whole world eventually we know will during the Great Tribulation. But I know this, until we get to the Great Tribulation, I want to do the best I can to pull back on that lever even if it causes sparks to fly on the tracks. And we're entering into a time right now, guys, where sparks are about to fly. If this thing passes next week, it's going to affect the church greatly. It'll affect the church in every area. And I'm not just talking about the loss of tax-exempt status and all those kind of things, which has been a huge blessing by God so the church can do more work. But if churches are against it, that'll be taken away at some point, eventually, very soon. And then there's going to be those that don't want to be called hater, and they don't want to be against society, and you're going to begin to see the church thin out. And there won't be some of you guys that are here this morning coming anymore. Because for you, it's just religion. You're just hanging out on Sunday morning. You're not about to do something where everybody hates you and they call you a bigot. Or a hater, it's like, I'm not with that group. That's the bad news. The good news is if that happens, those that left are going to be on fire for Jesus, and the church is going to be purified in America. And that's when God can begin to pour out his Spirit, because the real deal is now here. And so God was warning the nation, and God is warning us, and he's saying, hey, you better do something about it, because I've been long-suffering, and I've been gracious, but now I have to deal with it. And verse 20, it says, then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed, which means willful sin, not stumbling, not ignorance, knowing what God said and saying, I don't care what God says. I will do what I want anyway. Because this nation has done this and or transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and because they've done this and they've not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations with Joshua left when he died. In other words, you wanted it so bad, I'm going to let it remain in your nation. I'm going to allow the calamity. I'm going to allow the plundering of the national economy. I'm going to allow the increase in sexual diseases. If these are the things you want as a nation, I can't make you turn from it. All I can do is send pastors, send leaders, send Christians. But if you won't listen to them, then this is going to be the result. This is what's going to happen. And the problem is it's always too late until afterwards. And then once it's done, what do people do? There's nothing they can do. It's too late. And so the Lord says, this is where you're headed. Verse 22, so that through them, that is all these things that are oppressing you, I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. In other words, I'm going to divide the real from the fake. I'm going to allow these things to happen. I'm going to allow abortion to continue. I'm going to allow same-sex issues to gain more ground. I'm going to allow these different, whatever, you name the issue, whatever. This is just issues that are hot button at the moment. I'm going to allow those because I'm going to find out who loves me and who doesn't. I'm going to find out who's going to stand with me and who's not going to stand with me under the pressure. And I'm going to test them by this, and then I'll know those who love me as compared to those who don't love me. And so God allows these things to remain in a nation that have gone this far down the road so that that nation can be tested and be proven. And again, his church, his people could be purified in the nation of Israel, and we can be purified as a nation within the church and those who stand with God. So sad, yes, but a purifying effect is the result. Verse 23, therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. Notice it says he didn't drive them out immediately. That means that God still desired to bless the nation of Israel. He still desired to drive out their enemies and to pour out his Spirit on them as a nation again, but he was waiting to see if they were going to make a stand against the evil that had come in, or if they were going to go with it and keep going down that road of what they wanted rather than what God wanted. Guys, I see the book of Judges as a warning from the Lord and also as very hopeful. And that's how I want to leave it today. I don't want to leave it just the warning. I don't want this just to be, okay, we're all doomed. The train's definitely going to fall off the track. Look, God can rebuild the bridge or stop the train if he wants to, but God is waiting on us. All God is saying is, church, turn back to me. Purify yourself and your hearts first, because if I don't have a purified bride, how can I reach a world that needs to see purity? You see, the church is becoming so much like the world, oftentimes you can't tell the difference. There should be a difference in the way you live and the people in the world. And there should be a noticeable difference in the way you live and the people in the world. And if your friends can't tell a difference, and your family can't tell a difference, and nobody can tell a difference, then you're not living for Jesus Christ. I say that as an encouragement to say, all right, then, if that's the case, let's deal with it. Let's lay it on the line for the Lord right now with our hearts born before him and laying it out and just deal with it. But then I want to give the hopeful side. Even in the midst of their willful transgression, that is their willful sin in God's face, God said, I'm here and I'm ready to forgive. I love you and I will restore you individually. And I'll restore you as a nation if you'll simply turn to me. And here's even better news. If the nation doesn't repent, God will still take us and restore us if we do. Isn't that great news? In other words, it's not dependent on whether or not the nation turns back to God, if you're right with God or not. That's dependent on you and God. You deal with your heart before the Lord, God will get you right, and then that just means it's that much more of our nation being where we need to be and being right before God. So let's lay it out. Let's lay it out to him. Let's do it this morning, guys. Let's pray. Lord, we just lay our hearts out to you this morning on an individual level and a national level. God, I read the book of Judges and I am convicted myself. Where am I? Where's my walk? What am I allowing? God, how have I grown cold? Do I now see a changing moral society as acceptable? It's okay, don't worry about it. Lord, you never forced your will on anyone, and we as the church should never try to force our will on this society. Lord, that's not what we're talking about, and you know that, God. You know the heart. We simply want to be holy and righteous before you and to be different from the world and to be an example to the world. And God, I pray for those in here this morning that might feel conviction, realizing that they need to get their heart right with you, God, that right now they would begin to pour their heart out in repentance and asking you to forgive them and to cleanse them and to get them where they need to be. Because, Lord, that's where it has to begin first, in our own hearts individually. Father, send a spirit of conviction. Let us be the ones pulling the handle back. Although sparks may fly, let us not back down from pulling that handle back and slowing this train down to where if enough people help us pull that handle, this thing may stop. And we actually may see a nation once again, one nation under God, not divided, but united in Jesus Christ and honoring you. And Lord, seeing your light shine on this nation until the day you come and take your bride out of here in the rapture of the church. God, that is my hope. And I see the hope you give in this. Even for the children of Israel, you were ready to forgive them and pour out a blessing at any minute. This morning, you are ready to forgive us and pour out a blessing right now if we will simply come with pure and broken hearts. So let us do it individually. And God, let us do it nationally. Again, God, have mercy on us as a nation. Let us as the church lead the way in example, not forcing our will, but loving the lost in such a way they desire your will. So, Father, forgive us, have mercy on us, and send your revival to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name.